So today, the scripture has us walking into the passion with Jesus. This is an exciting and a very interesting story. Even if you've heard it before, I've studied it before, but I've just found some new things and new connections today. And I want to offer the gospel to you in this reading. Now, Jesus is soon to be arrested. He's entering this last week. It's got to be tense for him, okay? But into this great tension comes this very tender moment between he and a friend named Mary, and it goes like this. 6 days before the Passover festival, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary, his other sister, took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of that perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He had said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Many Jews learned that he was there. They came to see him, not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. The chief priests decided that they would kill Lazarus too. It was because of Lazarus that many of the Jews had deserted them and come to believe in Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, in these days of social distancing, I found myself thinking a lot about how important touch is to connecting between human beings. How important touch is to being a human, greeting one another, supporting another person, encouraging, giving that attaboy slap on the back to another person. I've missed that, haven't you? At my Lane family reunions, of which I'll be a part of one this summer, I can count on at least one of my brothers, and it's usually David, who will make his way around the crowd and over to me and for a few minutes just rub my back, my shoulders. "Oh yeah, David, yeah, right there between the shoulder blades," where he knows I get kind of tensed up from travel. And he'll do it often without speaking, no words necessary, just a little hands-on reminder that he's there for me and cares for me and looking out for me. You got anybody that comes up and rubs your back like that? It's a nice piece. Would you agree that touch, human touch, when it's offered out of love, not pushy or coercive, but out of respect and tenderness and covenant even, it is a beautiful thing. It grounds us into knowing what it means to be a beloved human. Okay, I can say this because I'm generally kind of a hugger, but I've come to appreciate not everyone is that way, and some people like to have their space, and I respect that too. But I think you get what I'm talking about today. So I wonder, in your social distancing, brothers and sisters, how do you navigate touch in this time when we want to respect each other with a distance? Because in these important days that we're in, we hold one another to good practices that I'm sure you can recite in your sleep right now, right? Wash your hands at least for 20 seconds, wipe off and disinfect surfaces, Don't be in the line of fire when someone is coughing. And wait for it, social distancing. That's right. WikiLeaks defines that as non-pharmaceutical actions intended to stop or slow down the spread of a contagious disease. Why, just a month ago, if we even knew what that phrase was, who would have thought we would be using social distancing as a positive to help people actually show an act of love by not conveying a virus to another or for it to happen the other way, vice versa? So I'm wondering today, are you? Who is this woman mentioned in the gospel who shows Jesus about the most extreme opposite to social distancing that's imaginable? I'd like you to see an image from a contemporary artist. Wayne Forte has his interpretation of what that moment might have looked like in the gospel. Who's this woman who shows her care for Jesus by rubbing her high-class jar of fragrance onto his tired and dirty feet? Feet, by the way, that have been carrying him from town to town while he's teaching and preaching for really a while now. No arch support in those sandals, so don't you imagine those feet are pretty sore and tired. And a chance to get them rubbed and massaged would be as good a thing as the dinner he's just sat down to. At least that's what I'm imagining. What does this woman know who's busted into the room? Why does she not seem to care when other people in the room are shouting at her that she needs to quit right now this action that could be interpreted as scandalous or maybe just wasteful? Why is this scandal even mentioned in the Gospels? All four Gospels, mind you. Could it be, might it be, that she is our great teacher today? She has something to tell us that we would benefit from, especially today, as we are all boarded up, socially distanced, and trying our best to be frugal for non-essential expenses. Well, I got to tell you, it's kind of tricky to know exactly who this woman is in the gospel. Because each writer of the gospel has his own spin on the story. So today, you know, we read from the Gospel of John. Storyteller John says, oh, this is Mary. You know Mary. Mary, the sister of Martha, whose home Jesus would drop in on unannounced just to have a meal or to flop on their sofa and relax. Oh, and she's got that brother Lazarus, who was just raised from the dead in the previous chapter by Jesus. But get this. If you cross over to one of the other Gospels, like Matthew and Mark, for instance, they never tell us who this woman is. She's nameless. Neither does storyteller Luke. In fact, all Luke will say of her is she was, quote, a woman of the city who was a sinner. In one version, she anoints Jesus' head like a king. But in today's reading, John's gospel, it's his feet that get the royal treatment. So you heard what happened. These two sisters host a dinner party for Jesus and invited guests. And oh, maybe around just after when dessert was served, Mary breaks open her jar and anoints Jesus with spikenard. It's like a precious oil or salve that had a rich fragrance like frankincense. And we're told it was so valuable, it would equal a year's wages by some people's wages. As the musky fragrance kind of rises in the room, you just imagine what it was like, everyone smelling it. And Judas, oh, we've heard of Judas. Judas is offended And he unloads on Mary for her over-the-top generosity. Why was this unopened bottle of perfume not sold on Craigslist and the money given to the poor to help out down at Safe Harbor? Okay, that's a loose translation, okay? But then Jesus silences him. Shh, leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. What's unspoken by Jesus is, which might be happening nearer than you know. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. It's a complicated story. Not the least of which is because it raises these thorny questions about what exactly is piety, acts of piety around Jesus, and what do you do with poverty, about the poor, and what is this story even saying about good stewardship and not being wasteful? But the reason we're front and center with this story today is because it's also a very rich story, full of treasures and wisdom that you and I could take with us today and ponder and carry beyond our pandemic thinking then into a time of healing, even a time of abundance, if we will let it. So just for the next few minutes we're together, I'd like to quickly name three treasures or gifts that come out of this story that we could take into our week. First, I think, is the obvious. And I want to call up that image again and let you reflect on this iconic view of an old story. Jesus got anointed. That's what you call what Mary was doing for him that night. Anointed. It's not really a word we use day to day, is it? It has a sound of being kind of mysterious, you know. You anoint my head with oil till my cup runneth over, so says the psalm. But I want to tell you, anointing another human being is a most hopeful act. And in ancient cultures, it was how you would honor someone's past as well as honoring their future. And it's not lost on us, is it? That it is a woman in this episode who anoints the Savior of the world. For Jesus certainly empowered women. He learned from women. He valued their wisdom. And know what's going on, friends. On this night, it looks like Mary knew something that almost no one else in the room knew. She was on to something. On this night, nobody was going to stop her from this great act of love. Call it a scandal if you want. Anointing, it often happens by marking the skin of a person with some essential oil or some special oil. And it would happen at the coronation of kings and queens that they would be anointed. Well, just think with me about the old story of David in the Bible. You know, we think of David as King David, but he started out as this scrawny shepherd boy. And when old Samuel learns who he is, he goes to the home where young David lives and sees who is there and anoints the boy with oil. It was like a way of saying, I see a good future for you, boy. You're king material. That's what anointing can do. So anointing would mark a person about who they will be. But anointing, also in ancient cultures, was a way to honor who they had been. For many cultures, including Jesus, at the time of a person's death, this would be a gesture of great care that you would show the person who had lived by massaging fragrant oils, especially into their hands and feet and their face. Hey, I say, try it out on the living, where you can hear them tell you how good it feels to be paid attention to and affirmed in their very body. So I say, how about once this season of social distancing is behind us, I heartily recommend try giving the blessing of an anointing to someone's sore back or hands or feet. It's a beautiful thing to love extravagantly in this way, the gift of anointing. Which leads very well to the second gift that I think is happening in this episode we have in the gospel today. It's Mary's gift of being fully present in this moment. Now think about that with me, because I think it's easier said than done. And anybody hearing me today who struggles with a little bit of anxiety or is worried here lately, what's going to happen in the unknown future? You know, that anxiety robs us from noticing who is around us as fully as we can and living in the current moment. I really think it's our spiritual work to try and be in the moment, sensitive to other people and the promptings of the Spirit to love people. Because this moment is all we have, and knowing that is really the first step of honoring the now with each other. So Jesus responds to Judas, who's all anxious, jumping all over Mary, you know, when Judas says, hey, don't waste that perfume, you could give the money to the poor. And Jesus comes back with this comment that sounds a little snide or a little callous. Did you catch it? You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. What is Jesus saying here? That the poor don't matter? That you should accept poverty as inevitable and unavoidable? I don't think so. In fact, many commentators think that this reference Jesus is making here to that line, he's actually riffing on a much older book in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to look it up, it's Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. That's very clear about poverty and generosity when it says, here's a quote, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed. Huh. In other words, the call to care for the poor is constant. It never ceases. And in fact, it should always be a part of our own spiritual work to be generous. But Jesus, on the other hand, his days are numbered. He knows that full well by tonight. And Mary knows it too. And she draws close while she still has him near. When my father-in-law and mother-in-law were near the end of their earthly lives, my brother-in-law, who is their son, Mac gave a temporary goodbye to his husband out east where they were living. And he came and he spent the next several weeks downstate Michigan to be with his mother and father and to serve them and wait on them and to sit on the porch and have these long conversations and learn things about their childhood he'd never known. It was this most beautiful encounter, and I so respect Mac for making that time for each of his two parents, for that gift of weeks together as they were saying goodbye to each other. I've heard some of you talk about stories like that too, where an aging grandmother or mother or father in those last days, maybe that's a gift that can come with death, when we have that space to say all that needs to be said and just be in the presence of that beloved. I think it is true. I've heard some of you tell me that your times with those aging loved ones were some of the most wonderful days of your life, full of meaning as you took them as far as you could go with them. So far, in these few minutes, you know, we've been able to name the gift of anointing that comes out of that, honoring someone's body. Then also the gift of living in the now. Finally, there is the gift out of this story of leaning into lavish, over-the-top acts of love for another person and not holding back. I mean, could it be that the reason Jesus goes all out defending Mary that night in front of the other dinner guests who were protesting, the reason he stands up for her is that she gets it. In this world, we are to love each other lavishly. In Mark's gospel, it even has Jesus saying, I tell you, whenever the good news or wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Do you hear how he's esteeming her actions? Ponder with me here, brothers and sisters, how after all this time Jesus has spent, what do we think, about 3 years of his public ministry, here he's been teaching and touching and healing so many people and trying as best as he can to model in front of them, here's what the lavish love of God for human beings looks like. And now Mary gets it. She gets it when so many in the room at that moment were not getting it. And he blesses her. Now, could you say that Mary's gift that night was over the top? Yeah, you could say that. Is it useless according to logical ledger keeping that Judas was bringing to the table? Yeah, you could say that. Is it orderly and logical? Not so much. And yet Jesus sees it as the gold bar standard of what it means to be a disciple. Think about it with me this way. In your own life, the times for you, think back over the hardships you've had, any perils or seasons of pain and trouble in your own life. What has comforted you the most? What's carried you through? Has it been the platitudes of a level-headed pragmatist who just told you to use common sense and get on with it? Or has it been the lavish, sometimes even useless or over-the-top gestures of someone who you know loves you unconditionally and will stand by you no matter what? Maybe it's a bit of both that carries us through those hard moments. I'm thinking right now of parents' over-the-top acts of love for their kid. When that kid is on a sports team and the parent is sitting in the bleachers with pouring down rain or blustery cold, and the game they're watching is not even that important, but they want to be there for their kid. Isn't that an act of over-the-top lavish love? Let's hear it from Mary today, because she's learned how to live in the moment and love at that standard Jesus has been inspiring people to do in the now. Knowing that Jesus needs some companionship. Let's see the image one more time. Just meditate it on one more time with me. She knows what's up with Jesus. He's in urgent need of some companionship and comfort and solace, knowing that the time is short to let him know the gratitude that she feels about all that he has done for her. And she acts on it. And some called it a scandal. Who cares? Friends, here's the treasure of acting toward another with great heart. At a time she could have just caved into scarcity thinking. Huh? Anybody lately caved into scarcity thinking? For that, I say, Mary really is our teacher. So much tenderness is just flowing off the pages of this gospel story. And what will we do with it? As we see in these next weeks, how Jesus faces his music, enters his passion, loves without a vaccine against pain. What do you think? Will we choose the measured risk or the extravagant gesture toward those who are around us? You know, especially in these days, this time of calculated movements that we all must take on, where we're doing things to avoid infection or to give or pass on infection. Especially in these days, friends, this may be the best time to risk a lavish, over-the-top gesture of love towards somebody who needs it? What about delivering a savory takeout meal or a good bottle of wine to someone's doorstep? What about a handwritten letter or card where you speak from your heart to someone who could really hear, who could use the heart's encouragement right about now? What about kicking in a little cash to cover a school term for one of the children in the community in Haiti that we're so committed to at Cap Haitien and Piastour? And I think it would be a great gesture to make such a gift at the very time we're waiting for our children to return to their classes. The Lutheran minister Regan Humber put it this way: what won't always be with us is the opportunity to see God in whatever or whomever is standing in front of us right now. The love of God means seeing the grace right now. Friends, the time for Jesus is getting shorter, isn't it? That's what we're marking over these weeks of Lent. The cross awaits him. Here's Jesus asking the hard question one more time today. What are you going to do while you still have me? Thanks be to God, whose love is everlasting.